This is The Takeaway. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. Well, there's been a lot of talk in recent years, you've heard it, about the notion of a post-racial America. It really began with the election of President Obama, the first black president, in late 2007 and taking office in 2008. Do you agree, however, that we've reached any level of post-racial America? David Kaneohe in Hawaii says this to us. How about the peanut throwing incident at the Republican National Convention? Now, if you missed what he's talking about, that's an incident that took place on the floor at the convention when peanuts were tossed at a black cameraman from CNN and was told by the person who tossed them, this is what we feed animals. That's end quote. Well, your take two. We want to know if you see changing race relations in your neighborhood, if at all, for the better or for the worse. You can always call us at 8778-MY-TAKE. Well, today, however, the idea of an American society that's free from racism and discrimination seems maybe unrealistic, maybe unreachable. My next guest says, however, that President Obama, through his election, not only didn't take America to a post-racial place, the place that we all want to be, but in fact brought us backward. He's Ron Christie. He's former special assistant to President George W. Bush, friend of the show, frequent guest on The Takeaway, and my friend. He's author of a new book called Blackwards, How Black Leadership is Returning America to the Days of Separate but Equal. Hi, Ron.
Todd, good to see you.
A powerful title. I know that your publisher wants a powerful title because it sells books, but How Black Leadership is Returning America to the Days of Separate but Equal. It's a bold statement and one that on the face of it seems a little ridiculous. This does not feel like the 50s or the 40s to me.
Well, it's a provocative title by nature and for a very important reason, Todd, is I do think that certain black leaders in America are returning us to the days of separate but equal. I'm making specific reference to the Al Sharptons, the Jesse Jacksons, those who seem to think that America is stuck in the 1950s. And in my opinion, they want to keep us there. And why would I say something like that? You look, for example, of the voter ID laws that are in place in numerous states around the country today, and you hear these leaders say, it's a poll tax. It's disenfranchising black voters. It's returning America to the dark days of Jim Crow. And I look at that and say, why would you take a law that is racially neutral in its application of ensuring that everybody who is seeking to access the ballot place has an equal opportunity to do so, but they must produce a voter ID, is somehow a poll tax or disenfranchisement? I think it's absurd.
The language of the law is race neutral, of course. It would be ludicrous if the law said black people need to produce an ID. Mm-hmm. However, you know as well as I do, we had some guests earlier on in the show, Cornel West and Tavis Smiley, who would point out, I think, that the majority of people who don't have government ID and are required to take an extra step to vote would probably be minorities and probably African American.
And I would step forward to that and say in the 21st century, when you can't go to the pharmacy and buy a prescription drug, when you can't board a train, when you can't enter a federal building without an ID, that the notion that somehow requiring an ID that will be administered and given freely by a government is somehow racially insensitive, again, I think is ludicrous on its face. But it perpetuates a myth, in my opinion, Todd, that blacks are inferior. Blacks are unable to cope in modern society. It's just absurd that the notion that these folks would even say that we have a poll tax or would even say that black folks are being discriminated against, I think is really heading us in the wrong direction.
Now, Ron Christie, you share some of your starkest criticism. You reserve some of your starkest criticism, rather, for President Obama. On the one hand, you say that there were hopes and dreams imbued upon him that he never could have lived up to. But you go beyond that in the book and say that he actually, through his own actions, has set race relations backwards. Not that he couldn't have lived up to the expectation. Here's one part that you talk about in detail in the book. When President Obama was a senator and was running for president and had to answer for some of the incendiary statements of Reverend Jeremiah Wright. Now, President Obama made a statement, a famous speech in Philadelphia, where he said this.
I can no more disown him than I can disown the black community. I can no more disown him than I can disown my white grandmother.
I mean, seriously, Senator, now President Obama, you can no more disavow him than disavow the black community? You're talking about one individual, Jeremiah Wright, who came out with some very incendiary, some very racist, some very anti-Semitic comments. You can disavow one person, but to somehow denote that Reverend Wright speaks for the entire African-American community or he's a symbol of the entire African-American community is exactly the premise of my book where I say President Obama, in certain ways, is taking us back in race relations because we need to recognize that our citizenship, our shared citizenship and responsibility as Americans, is what binds us together in this country, not looking at people through the cult of ethnicity of you're white, I'm black, and therefore you can't somehow empathize with me and I can't empathize with you.
In reading this book, however, Ron, I want to challenge you a bit because I have detected President Obama, like all politicians, they find their constituencies, they try to divide and they try to get their votes. All politicians do that, at least most do. President Obama has talked about class, as many Democrats do. He has talked about the middle class versus the rich, as maybe you would expect a Democrat to do in an election like this. But he has made an effort, and I have very, very rarely, if ever, heard this black president try to divide the electorate in terms of race, try to appeal to one racial constituency. In fact, he tries to avoid it, apparently sensitive that he'll be seen as the black president and not the president. But you don't seem to think that that's the case.
No, and here's where I'd push back on you on that. You remember in February of 2009, his attorney general said that America was a nation of cowards as it related to race, and President Obama said nothing on that. Later that summer, President Obama said that the Cambridge police had acted stupidly in arresting Henry Louis Gates, his friend, and he said, admittedly, I don't have all the facts. He injects himself also with Trayvon Martin, who said, if I had a son, he'd look just like me. He injects himself in certain points where it's convenient for him and expedient for him politically. But yet, when all these other racist comments are going around, the Tea Party's racist, Republicans are racist, he remains suspiciously silent.
There is a lot in Ron Christie's new book to challenge your notions or maybe what you thought about President Obama as the first black president and his role in race relations in this country. It is called Black Words, How Black Leadership is Returning America to the Days of Separate but Equal. And the author is friend of the Takeaway, Ron Christie. Ron, thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Good to see you, Todd.
Well, we want to hear about your community and if you've seen race relations change in the last 4 years. An Oklahoma listener wrote to us to say, when I first moved here from the West Coast, I was amazed to see a sign on the freeway area saying, if you're black, don't let the sun set on your back here in Henrietta, Oklahoma. They've taken the said sign down, but the attitude still remains, I'm told. That's just amazing. Janice in New Jersey writes to us, I live in Jersey City, one of the most diverse cities in America. My kids have grown up among people of all races, religions, ethnic backgrounds. No one is different because of who they are, what they look like, or what they believe in. Well, your stories too at facebook.com/thetakeaway. We always want to hear from you at 8778MYTAKE. You can post comments to the website at thetakeaway.org on the issue of race relations or anything else you've heard on the show today.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.